Welcome to Double Take with Matt and Jake. Welcome back to Double Take with Matt and Jake. It's been a little bit. This is Jake, joined by Matt as always. Today is Wednesday, June 28th. We are back in the United States of America. We were in Chile for about 2.5 weeks. We missed a lot. We got a lot to talk about. We're both very tired. I think I'm more tired than Matt because he's on summer vacations and has been getting to sleep, and I've been having to get up at 6 to go to work. So hopefully you're enjoying your summer vacation.
I am. It's been pretty great. I've just, you know, been chilling, been doing a little bit of reading. We've got a sprinkler problem, so I dug out the sprinkler box.
And I did notice that. It looks good.
Yeah, so hopefully, well, it looks bad, but it looks like
you've been working
like
on
it needs to have been done. Yeah, so we're going to. So yeah, just kind of working on that, you know, stuff that I've wanted to get done for a while. So, you know, summer vacation's nice, you know, being a teacher, there's some drawbacks, but there are some pluses too.
Yeah, no, and Chile was good. We went kind of all over. We went to Santiago, the capital. We went up to Viña del Mar. We went to Pichilemu, which is a surf town. We went to really mostly kind of up and down where my mission, Mormon mission, and Matt's mission was visiting people. But a little bit of beach time as well, some beautiful sunsets there. We're excited to be back. We got a lot to talk about. Because we missed a lot. We didn't talk about the LIV stuff, LIV PGA Tour golf stuff, so I know we're late to the game, but we'll highlight that a little bit. NBA draft happened, a lot of trades going on as well. Messi to Argentina, he was already on Argentina. Messi to Miami. And the College World Series happened, which from my friends who don't like baseball, who watched it, they actually thought it was really entertaining. It was the most, games 1 and 3 were the most watched baseball games, including at Major League Baseball, the entire year for ESPN.
Really? That's interesting. Yeah, no, that, it was a good tournament, and LSU in the final, that's kind of a, like, names that people recognize. Like, oh, these teams probably hate each other. I'm assuming that carries over from football, so.
Yeah, I think the whole universities don't really like each other, Florida and LSU, yeah.
So I think it was a good setup.
Yeah, it was awesome. I will just start with that, because that's only going to be a minute or two, but Florida. Well, so the first game LSU won, second game Florida won 23-3, and then game 3, the winner-take-all game, LSU came out, and Florida pitcher Jack Caglione just couldn't find the strike zone. He could find a lot of LSU batters. He walked a bunch of guys and hit a few of them out less than 3 innings. Like, he was taken out of the game before the 3rd inning was over, and LSU just kept walking and just kept hitting and just pouring it on. And LSU's whole lineup is loaded. Dylan Cruz, Paul Skeens, who didn't pitch the majority or basically anything in that game, is going to be the best pitcher or the number 2 draft, presumably, in Major League Baseball. Florida's got a lot of studs, too, as well. So I think MLB draft-wise, that was the best matchup we could have seen, a lot of talent there. And even though they were all blowouts, it was still a pretty entertaining series and all College World Series in a whole. We didn't watch a ton of it, just the finals, because we were in Chile, but.
Yeah, they, believe it or not, they don't broadcast a lot of college baseball in Chile.
It was kind of a bummer.
Yeah. Especially because that's like, you know, you're one of the few people in America that cares about it. So
yeah,
to have one of the fans gone is disappointing.
I'm the only person I've met in person who, like, actively, like, follows it and watches it and stuff like that. You know what I mean? Like, you'll watch it if it's on, and, like, the College World Series, you, like, watch.
Yeah.
But I'll watch in, like, March, like, Kentucky playing, like, Georgia.
Yeah, that's harder for me.
Yeah. Now, I'm not, like, dialed into it, but I have it on. I think it's enjoyable.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Just because college baseball, like, in Major League Baseball, the pitcher's not walking 4 batters in the 1st inning, you know what I mean? Or they're not doing, like, squeeze bunts to try to get a run in. It's honestly a different game.
Yeah.
Major League Baseball, it's so home run, strikeout rate doesn't matter as much as it used to. Where college baseball, like, they're moving runners over. It's more like that small ball. So it's different. You know, it's a different product. And also, they're college players, so they're less predictable. So a lot of crazy stuff happens.
Yeah. It's a good time. So for the next year, I'm not going to be able to afford to go back to Chile quite yet. So we'll have to do like a bigger thing for it next year.
For the College World Series?
Yeah.
Oh. You don't mean like go to it. You just mean like talk about it?
Yeah. More like, you know, get into it, talk about it every week and that sort of thing.
Last year, North Carolina almost made it, and I was going to go, I think by myself,
to go.
So if next time North Carolina makes it, which might be a little bit, I will be there.
Yeah.
Looking forward to it.
Nice.
I think the NBA stuff's going to be the biggest thing, so let's do that last.
Okay, cool.
Should we talk about Liv real quick, which will be another couple minutes, then a little bit on Messi to Inter?
Sure, yeah, and I think, I'll let you start. I don't know how much more we're going to have to say than what's already been said.
No, I mean, just Jay Moynihan looks like a D-bag.
Right.
Doesn't he? Like, I don't know how else to say it, like, he obviously knew this was a possible outcome because, like, a year ago he was talking about 9/11 and, like, shaming the players who went to live and all this garbage, basically, just trying to get sympathy points. And about a year later, he's signing and giving it over to the Saudi whatever, undisclosed what he's getting, but I'm sure he's a very rich person now. And it's just the hypocrisy because I think – I wasn't, like, super – here's the thing. My favorite soccer team in England is Newcastle, who are owned by some Saudis. Manchester United, my other team. I can explain why there's two English teams I like, but they might be getting bought by Saudis as well. So I'm not in a position to be like, oh, sports washing, blah, blah, blah. You shouldn't do anything supported by a Saudi. But Jay Moynihan just was going off on that. And so all the players who went to Liv were getting criticized and hammered. And then a year later, players like Rory McIlroy, Tiger Woods just missed the bag. Scottie Scheffler, Tiger Woods got offered like $900 million. Rory could have got, I don't remember, I'm sure $200, $300 million for going over there.
Right.
And they just kind of get left in the dark. And to not even know about it, to find out on Twitter that they were merging with Liv, it's absurd. It's just the hypocrisy, the behind closed doors, like, lying to the golfer's face. It's just, I don't know how he can continue to have a job. I don't know who his boss is anymore, and I'm sure part of the deal was he's going to stay on, but I would love to see the meeting where Rory just got to scream at him.
Yeah, well, his boss now is the Liv guy, isn't it?
Yeah, it's whoever, I don't know any of the technical terms. Like, I keep saying Saudi stuff. I don't know the terminology for their whatever it is, but that guy just owns golf, basically, now.
Right.
Which is insane.
So it is. Yeah, I think the issue of, like, supporting it is really, really interesting because I think that, you know, it's good to, you know, not support things that we don't believe in. But, like, for you, if you've been a fan of Manchester United for how many years, it's, like, that's not something that you just drop off and leave, right? I know it sounds like you should to somebody who's not really a sports fan.
Yeah.
But it just doesn't really work like
that. Yeah, I can't just go from Manchester United to Brighton.
Right. You know what
I mean? It's not the same thing.
No, it's not. It's not the same thing. Or even, you know, Liverpool or Arsenal or whatever.
Screw Liverpool. Yeah.
Yeah.
No. Yeah. Well, the reason I like Manchester United is because Michael Owen played for them, like, right when I was getting the start. And that's honestly the tie with Newcastle as well. I know he started with Liverpool and then Real Madrid, but when I was getting into soccer, that's where those are the clubs he was playing for: Newcastle and Manchester United. And me, yeah, Manchester United, like, the teams with, like, Wayne Rooney, Cristiano Ronaldo, Rio Ferdinand, Michael Carrick, Paul Scholes, Ryan Giggs. I mean, that's, like, my team. That was, like, my first team where I, like, followed soccer, watched it as much as I could, got into it. So that's part of the reason I enjoy watching any soccer now, including Real Salt Lake and the MLS, including the World Cup and the Copa America and all that stuff. So I'm not just going to be like, oh, they're owned by Saudis now. I'm going to go support Sunderland, you know, I mean, it's just, like, not the same thing. You can't just, like, pick a team.
Yeah, no, so it's an interesting ethical question that I don't really have the answer to, but I think it's interesting to look at.
Well, and, like, no one, it's one thing if you don't want to support Liv, but no one's going to be like, I'm not watching any golf anymore.
Right.
So all the people who are like, Liv is evil, all this stuff, they're going to be watching the U.S. or not the U.S. Open, because that's not owned by the Saudis, but they're going to be watching the Wells Fargo, whatever, they're going to be watching the farmers, whatever, Tory. But I don't even know if the sponsorships are going to stay the same for these tournaments anymore.
Right, yeah.
Yeah. But they're going to be watching them. They're going to be there.
Yeah, so that would be interesting to come back in a year and see, you know, if the viewership numbers change and by how much and all that.
I'm sure it won't.
No, I don't think it will either. Yeah. I would think, if anything, I think it'll go up, honestly.
It's easy. I mean, it sucked when Liv happened in the sense that, like, we didn't get to watch Joaquin Neiman and Dustin Johnson and Brooks Koepka play against Rory and Scottie Scheffler every week. Unless it made the majors more exciting because, like, oh, these guys are all together. But, like, other than that, like, I don't know. It's stupid.
Yeah.
It's just the hypocrisy is annoying, and, like, the backdoor whatever I think is shady, and I just don't see why you can't just be honest about stuff. And if it clearly was a possible outcome for Jay Moynihan, so going on and using 9/11 to get some sympathy points, I think, is just total bullcrap.
Right.
It's unbelievable.
Totally agree.
So our Uber driver in Miami, a nice Cuban guy, probably 60s, right?
Early 60s. Something around there, yeah.
Didn't speak very good English, so we got to practice our Spanish. And Cuban Spanish is very different than Chilean Spanish, which is also very different than Mexican Spanish.
Yeah.
So I don't want to speak for you, but I was pretty lost with what he was saying a lot of the time.
No, it was tricky for sure.
We did talk most of the drive, though, about Messi going to Miami. Everyone that we talked to is pretty stoked, and rightfully so. The tickets for Inter-Miami games are, I think, over $1,000 for, like, when Messi's expected to be there, from what I've seen.
Yeah, certainly.
Gone up, like, 1,000%.
Yeah, no, I've seen, in, like, the first day, tickets had gone from $40 to $400. I'm sure they've continued to go up, even, you know, potentially sold out. Well, that's what happens. I'm sure that some scalpers just bought all the tickets and are going to be selling them just an enormous profit.
I hate people. Those are the worst people.
Yeah.
Do you remember the game? I think it was like the Bills were playing somebody in Detroit, and the NFL like just gave the tickets away for free, and a bunch of scalpers like grabbed them up and started selling them for like hundreds of dollars, and the NFL was trying to do like a nice, like, just don't be a jerk. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I did not hear about that, but yeah, no, that is frustrating.
But anyway, yeah, Messi. So here's my thing. Now, I'm on the record, and because I like Manchester United, I was always on Team Ronaldo.
Right.
Also because we like Chile, I was not on Team Argentina. So yeah. Two reasons to root against Messi.
Sure.
But when I was in Barcelona, this was 2017, I watched Messi play in person, and I mean this in the most serious way possible. It was a spiritual experience like Yosemite or Zion National Park. Yeah. Is like, it's like that couldn't have been created on accident. Like, there must be I'm 100% serious. He's gonna be 36 though. He's not exactly playing with Neymar and Luis Suarez anymore. He's gonna be playing with whoever is on Miami. I honestly couldn't tell you five players on the roster. I don't know if it'll be the same experience.
No, I don't know that it'll be the same, although I will say, and this is, you know, maybe an area where my lack of soccer knowledge is going to show. But, you know, we talk about NBA prospects or NBA players who are going to age gracefully and continue to play well. You know, Andre Miller could play forever in the NBA because his game was not dependent on soaring through the air, running super fast. That's just not what he did. But his skills that he had and the techniques and the fundamentals... you know, Tim Duncan is another player like this. This allowed them to play for so much longer. Messi is very clearly fast, but his thing is never fast. His thing is the ball is right next to my feet at all times. I can put it exactly where I want it, those sorts of things. Now, you're not as fast. It's harder to get around people. That sort of thing is going to show. But he's still going to be able, especially in MLS, coming straight from La Liga and League One, I think those skills are still going to be there. I think he's going to be the best player in MLS by quite a bit still, even if he's not necessarily the number one name in the Ballon d'Or discussions anymore. So, yeah, he's going to be good. Is it going to be enough to help Inter-Miami have a winning record? Probably not. Now, he's going to get Sergio Busquets and some other players are going to come in, so I think we need to see who those other players are coming in to see if Miami's actually going to be a good team.
Yeah. I will say one thing that stood out for Messi in person was just how much, and this is not an insult at all, just he was standing quite a bit. It's like he just kind of knew he didn't need to be going here. He knew where he needed to be, what he didn't need to be doing, where he didn't need to be wasting his energy. And he's just kind of walking around, you know, minding his own business. And then when they got the ball, he would just do unbelievable things. So right. So I think that's a good point. I think that makes sense. I've always said, and I'm interested in kind of what's going to change here, but the most impactful player in Major League Soccer was David Beckham.
Uh-huh.
But I think the best player was in league history, and I will admit I could be wrong on this, but I would say Robbie Keane. I would say the second guy would be Sebastian Giovinco.
Uh-huh.
Would be kind of, if it's not Robbie Keane, who would it be?
Yeah.
I'm a big Robbie Keane guy, who played with David Beckham, actually, with the Galaxy. I don't know what you would say to who the best player all the time is, but, like, with Messi, I'm not sure what he'll do in MLS specifically if he'll be the best player in MLS history. Just counting his MLS career. And not even factoring in longevity, because he's only going to play probably a couple years.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. Like, I would make an argument that Landon Donovan's the best player in MLS history just because he played so much. But yeah, in terms of peak, I would be surprised if, you know, this next year and a half is not the best player we've seen in MLS.
Yeah, I would, yeah. I mean, he did just win the World Cup. He kind of carried Argentina less than a year ago, so it's hard to say he's old. I think peak-wise, it's going to be interesting to see. I'm interested to see how it's gonna, if it's going to help the rest of the league. Like, I'm not sure if Vancouver's playing Cincinnati, people are going to really care at all. Yeah. I'm sure the ratings will go up, but I'm doubtful they'll go up for other teams.
Yes.
If that makes sense.
Yeah, no, I know what you mean.
I think MLS is hoping it will. I'm not sure it will, though.
Yeah, I mean, I think, yeah, maybe not as much as I hope. I think it will, because, I mean, just because people are going to be paying for these MLS League passes or whatever it's called. So at some point, Miami's not going to be playing, and they're going to put on some other team. But, yeah, no, I think Miami is going to get, I don't know, the flexing situation, how that works. I think Miami's going to get flexed in quite a bit.
To whatever prime apple spot the game of the matches. Week, yeah. I was like, I don't even know when he comes. I think it's like July, right? When he'll get here?
I believe July, yeah. I believe.
Yeah. I mean, I'm assuming when he plays in Real Salt Lake, that tickets are going to be too expensive, so I'm not planning on going to that.
No, not even going to try.
I don't even know if Miami comes here. I have to look it up.
Yeah.
Although
it will, I don't think they've done the draw yet, but potentially, let me just double check the Open Cup, because there was a chance that we would play Miami in the finals, but I don't know if those games have already happened yet. Sorry, no, yeah, looking up.
Let me ask you this while you're doing that.
Yeah.
Great podcast content. I forgot what I was going to ask you. Soccer related. Oh, here's what I was going to ask. And this is kind of messy Ronaldo type situation, also tied into the LIV Golf thing. What are your thoughts on Messi going to MLS versus like Ronaldo and Karim Benzema? I think N'Golo Kante is going to Saudi Arabia, right?
A lot of players.
A lot of players are going to Saudi Arabia. I haven't heard, maybe in England and in Europe they're getting more flack than in the U.S. I haven't heard a lot of flack. Certainly not as much as we gave the golfers who went to Saudi Arabia.
No, yeah, and you do wonder, you know, what that would look like if people cared more about soccer. I mean, I do think as big as Ronaldo is, I think Messi is so much bigger in the United States. I think a lot more people like Messi in the United States than Ronaldo.
Do you think that has to do with there's more people from Central and South America in the United States than from Portugal?
You know, partly, but, you know, I was a Ronaldo guy for a long time, but I just think now that we're very, very near the end of the careers, their European careers are, as far as we can tell, finished. I just think you put their resumes next to each other, and I just think Messi's had the better career.
Yeah, the World Cup certainly helped quite a bit.
Yeah. Because that was the thing, is, like, he needs to win a major tournament with Argentina, and then you go win the World Cup, and then...
And he won the Copa America a couple years before.
Uh-huh.
So, yeah, check that off.
Right. So, yeah, but I don't know. It is... With somebody like Ronaldo, who is making $1 million in Instagram posts, you know, for the majority of their careers, made more money in advertising and sponsorships than Messi did, although I think that's different now. I do think he's someone you would have liked to see, you know, go to another league and not go to the Saudi league. And I do want to be careful, because I think as we, you know, talk about this, I think it's easy for people to say, oh, don't support the Saudis, don't support the Saudis. And I think that gets confused with the people in Saudi Arabia and everything about Saudi Arabia, which is certainly not what we mean, just that
You know, the government is clearly corrupt and have done a lot of problematic things, and support going to these leagues, you know, supporting them, I think, supports some problematic ideas. And so I would have liked to see some of these players go to some other leagues, even though I know they're not going to make quite as much money.
Yeah. I just think most of the people criticizing them in that same situation would not turn down the money.
I think that's true, yeah.
So it's tough for me to be critical, because there's at least a good chance I would take that money. You know what I mean?
Right.
So it's hard for me to be like, oh, I can't believe they did that.
For sure.
And I think a lot of people would be in the same boat.
Yeah, no, I think it's, yeah. And I think there's a way we can talk about those things without necessarily being judgmental, and that's important. I think I was looking up August 23rd, if Miami beats Cincinnati and Real beats Houston, then they would play in the Open Cup final, although I believe they still have to do a draw to see where it would be held.
Mm. Well, there you go.
So.
Very cool.
Should we talk about the NBA draft?
Yeah, I was going to say, do you want to do the draft or the trade stuff first? Do you want to do the draft stuff?
Oh, doesn't matter. It looked like draft stuff, but I guess...
This is draft stuff.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm good either way.
Let's do the draft, because I'm on draft trades right now, and I'm going to be honest, we love the NFL draft. I don't know as much about the NBA draft, so this will be kind of picking and choosing what we want. I think the biggest thing of the draft, or biggest kind of question, was, is Brandon Miller or Scoot Henderson going to go too? I think you liked Scoot a lot more than Brandon Miller. So I think you, am I right?
I probably would have said Brandon Miller, just because I think, you know, a forward is going to be better than a guard.
Okay, because that's what I would say is the size of Brandon Miller. For some reason, I thought you were, like, crazy about Scoot. Did
no,
I make that up?
No, I'm not a... I mean, I don't have anything against Scoot, but I'm not particularly a Scoot guy.
Someone is, and I just thought it was you for some reason.
No, not me.
Okay. Yeah, because I would have gone Brandon Miller as well, just because even if Scoot has, you know, a little more scoring versatility, a little more finishing at the basket, I think ultimately getting a forward, I think Brandon Miller can be a good complement to Lonzo Ball. I think at number two, you don't draft for need. But also, if it's so close, Brandon Miller could be a really good player. So I don't hate the pick. I think some people wanted Scoot. I don't mind Charlotte going Brandon Miller at number two.
Yeah.
Other than that, Derek Lively Jr. ended up with the Mavericks. It's so confusing, like, how they don't do, like, what team actually ends up with them.
Yeah, just say the team that they're going to play for.
That's stupid. Grady Dick got drafted by the Raptors, Kansas guard. So that'll be fun. I don't have a ton to say, actually. Kobe Brown from Missouri got drafted by the Clippers. I liked him a little bit. I'm just going through kind of looking up names I know here. You have any thoughts on the draft?
One thing I read that was interesting that we can talk about, since, you know, I think the majority of our viewers are from Utah, is that Taylor Hendricks was ninth on the Utah Jazz draft board. So that's fine. You know, to get the player they had ninth at ninth is okay. You want to hopefully get him a little bit higher. Keontae George, who they drafted at 16, they had 10. So I think they were happy with Taylor Hendricks. I think they're very, very excited about Keontae George. And then especially now having John Collins, I think that's a good room where Taylor Hendricks is not going to have to start right away, but that he does have a chance to be a part of the rotation, earn some minutes. So I think here at the Jazz, you think about the John Collins as well as getting the guys that we did and the positions they did. I think you're pretty happy with this if you're a Jazz fan.
Yeah, if I knew any of the players, I'd be excited. I did like the Thunder's draft. They got Carson Wallace from Kentucky and then Keontae Johnson from Kansas State, transferred from Florida. With my little knowledge, I thought that was a good draft. Imani Bates, 49, to Cleveland. He was the number one player in the country, came to Memphis, transferred to Eastern Michigan. Kind of crazy how hyped he was, as hyped as any high school prospect in the last 10 years that I can remember.
Right.
Going all the way to 49, two or three years after he came out of the high school, is pretty crazy.
That is crazy.
Trade-wise, I think the two big ones are obviously the one involving the Jazz, and we can talk about either one first, but the real interesting one for me is the Chris Paul one.
Yes, that is very interesting.
Yeah, well, obviously the Bradley Beal one too, so there's a few. Which one do you want to talk about first?
Let's talk about Chris Paul.
So here's just why it's crazy to me, because there's no player versus team that I can think of that have more of a contentious relationship than Chris Paul and the Warriors.
Yes.
There's that meme at when Chris Paul was with the Rockets, of the laughing thing with Steve Kerr. Draymond Green went on a podcast last year and was like, I don't like Chris Paul. Steph Curry this year, during one of the games, said to Chris Paul, it ain't 2014 anymore. After that Houston series, the Warriors locker was chanting F Chris Paul. Mm-hmm. And now he's on the Warriors.
Right, yeah, because all that time, you know, the Warriors were the biggest rival, or the Clippers were the biggest rival for the Warriors in the West for a really, really long time. And after that, obviously Cleveland was a bigger rival, but they're in the East. And then after that, the biggest rival was the Rockets, right? And so the whole time it was like Chris Paul just trying to get over the hump with the Warriors over and over and over again. So,
well, I bet he feels to some extent like if the Warriors weren't there, he could have had a championship or at least a shot at a championship. Yeah,
or two or three potentially. Yeah,
definitely. Well, and also stylistically, he doesn't exactly fit what Golden State does. He's kind of like the opposite. Now, he's Chris Paul's been on the record saying, like, I'm more adaptable and flexible than I get credit for. But I think what most people, and I think what I would imagine happening is Chris Paul is going to come off the bench for, I think, the first time since ever. Like, he started every game in high school, every game in college. I think he started every game in the NBA. I think he'll come off the bench and run that second unit for Golden State, because in the playoffs, Golden State was horrendous. I think that was the worst, like, per 100 unit in the NBA playoffs when Steph Curry was off the floor.
Yeah.
So if Chris Paul can play 20, 28 minutes, somewhere around there, just settle the game down while Steph Curry's resting, and I'm sure they can even play a little bit together, I think that would be ideal for Golden State. I don't think they need him to be Chris Paul for like 38 minutes a game. I think they, especially in the regular season, like 20 minutes a game, 25 minutes a game, step it up a little bit in the playoffs maybe. I think that'd be, I don't know if that's ideal for Chris Paul, but I think that'd be ideal for the Warriors.
Yeah, I think it's a very good pick for the Warriors. I think it's going to be hard to talk Chris Paul into that, especially at the beginning of the season. I bet they try to, you know. But yeah, I mean, you can't really have Steph play two. That's so weird. I mean, you have Klay play three, but like Chris Paul's not going to play two. That would be nuts. So,
yeah, see, I think, I guess you just play positionless basketball. I don't know. Yeah, I don't know how Chris Paul and Steph Curry would play together. Because I feel like Chris more than Steph, but I feel like both of them to some extent need kind of to be running the offense and have the ball in their hands. Especially Chris Paul, obviously.
Yes.
So, we'll see what happens. But I'm excited. And for the, if you just look at the trade for 2023, I don't think the Warriors got better necessarily. But Draymond Green and Jordan Poole had to be separated. Also, the Warriors get off of Jordan Poole's contract. It sucks that in the NBA now, it's like you sign a guy to a contract, and as soon as you sign, it's like, how can we trade him so we don't have to pay him this money?
Right.
It's insane.
It just happens instantly, yeah.
It's so weird. And the new CBA is honestly still so complicated. I still don't understand it 100%, but
yeah. Well, I haven't even tried to look, so.
Yeah, but it's something about, like, second apron and all this stuff, but I don't know what Washington is doing other than I think trying to get a top four pick next year, trying to get that high end of the lottery.
Right
now, Bradley Beal to Phoenix. I think, is Devin Booker going to play point guard?
Yeah, I guess so. I think that should. I mean, he's your boy. So what do you think of that?
Devin Booker's my boy.
Yeah. I mean, more than me.
Yeah, I mean, I think I watch him more just because I watched him a lot when I was living in Phoenix. I think he's capable of, I mean, he's not Chris Paul, obviously, but I think he's capable of having the ball in his hands and running the offense.
Yeah.
But let's just say that. So Book is one, Beal's playing the two, Durant's playing the four, Ayton's playing the five, and whoever is playing, you want is playing small forward.
Right.
Starting lineup, that's pretty good, but, like, I think they had like $12 million of cap room left, like after like the six players on their roster. Like that might be, it was like under $25 million what they have left. It was like a super small number.
Yes.
Even after the mid-level exception, they're going to be in that second apron, which, again, don't know the nuances, but it's not good as far as kind of luxury tax and what you can do flexibility-wise with the cap. So I like the idea of it. I just don't like the execution, and I'm not sure how it's going to work out. With Phoenix. I thought they were better last, like, roster-wise. Because they used to have, before the Kevin Durant trade, I'm not saying they shouldn't have gotten Kevin Durant, but they had one of the deepest rosters, I thought. And when they went to the finals with Chris Paul and Devin Booker and DeAndre Ayton, it was because, like, Mikal Bridges was a really good role player, and he's blossomed in Brooklyn, and I'm interested to see what happens with free agency. Mm-hmm. And now they just don't have any of those difference makers who are making $10 to $12 million a year.
Yeah. No, it's yeah, well, and, like, because I think you even liked him more than me, but Bridges was just such a good player
for them. I love Bridges, yeah.
And so to lose him and Cam Johnson, it's just, I feel like we've seen these teams that just don't have benches, you know, even if you've got stars, it's really hard to win. So I don't think this is going to work at all. I think they're going to be good. I think it's going to be enough to win a lot of regular season games. But once you get to conference finals, I think people are going to start getting tired.
Yeah. Well, and that's why they kind of faltered in the playoffs this year, is because they just didn't have any depth, and Durant was playing like 48 minutes a game.
Yeah.
And Booker's playing like 45 minutes a game, and Chris Paul can't. I don't know what his minutes were, but it was more than he probably should have been playing, and right, definitely less than what, or more than what to play with the Warriors.
Yeah.
It's really unfortunate that they lost that, was it the 21 finals with Milwaukee?
Yes, because it was the Olympic year.
Yeah, you're right, yeah. That was I think, Phoenix's best shot. That was their year.
Yeah, I think so, too.
It was Milwaukee's year, apparently, too.
Milwaukee's year was Utah's year. That was the year we should have won.
That, honestly, that Clippers game, and this is a good transition to the Utah Jazz trade, but the game, I think it was game six, where we blew the 18-point lead to the Clippers after we'd had a 2-0 lead, that kind of turned me off of the Jazz.
Yeah.
I will say getting John Collins makes me back in, because I love John Collins ever since he was at Wake. Him playing with Lauri Markkanen, still don't like Walker Kessler, but that is quite a front court that the Utah Jazz have.
Yes. Well, no, I know you've got a grudge against Walker Kessler. I am into the Walker Kessler thing.
Everyone but me is into Walker Kessler, and it's really frustrating. But,
I mean, you recognize he's a great player, right?
Great is a stretch. I recognize
he's a great rookie.
He's a good, like, fourth option. Like, he had a good rookie year.
Yeah.
He's not Michael Jordan.
Sure. Well, no, and no, nobody's saying he is, but if you've got Lauri Markkanen and John Collins, he's going to be at best third. And well, you got to think that the Jazz are really trying to work hard in bringing in some sort of a guard who's going to be at worst the third option. So that's the plan, is for Walker Kessler to be the fourth option.
Yeah, and that's what he is. It's like a fine fourth option, but he acts like he's like the number one guy, and it's super. He doesn't recognize how not good he is at his offense. He can't do anything.
Jake's upset because in North Carolina, Walker Kessler was 18 years old and wanted to shoot three.
His dad wasn't 18 years old.
Okay. I'm not in the habit of blaming people's dads for things that happened to them, you know?
It's going to be a good front court.
It's going to be a very, very good front court.
And with Colin Sexton, who else would start at? You think Achobe could start?
Potential. I think that's what's going to happen at the beginning of the season.
I'd love that. I love Achobe.
Yeah. So, I mean, if he develops, he's got the tools to be a really, really great player potentially. As far as John Collins, though, I'm just looking. It looks like last year he had a little bit of a down year in terms of shooting. Actually, by far the worst three-point shooting of his career. I don't even necessarily know if that's what we wanted to do, but you've got to expect that to, you know, shoot back up, rise towards a mean next year. If he can have a little bit better shooting this year, you know, you'd like to see him get more rebounds than he got last year. So I think John Collins is maybe not, you know, as good of a player as he was 2 or 3 years ago. I think he's not developing in the way the Hawks hope. But, you know, that's kind of what people said about Lauri Markkanen, and he ended up at the Jazz, and he's had the best year of his life. So if we can do that with John Collins, we're going to make the playoffs.
I think John Collins' rookie contract, like kind of early Atlanta, I thought that was, I don't know what the numbers say, but I thought that was kind of best John Collins. And then Atlanta kind of got weird. It's kind of a weird situation there. Trae Young is obviously the guy. I think being an assistant where in Utah where he, A, doesn't have to be the guy, but he's also going to be a relied upon person as part of Lauri Markkanen, Colin Sexton, Achobe, Kalen Horton Tucker's. Like, there's a bunch of those players we were talking about in Phoenix, like those B+, 10 to 15 million. Now, Collins is making a lot more money than that, but like those type of players, Utah's got like 8 of those.
Yeah.
So I think they're going to be a really exciting team. And in the Western Conference, where Denver's going to be awesome again. But who else? Like, what's going on with the Lakers? Is are the Clippers going to keep their team together? Phoenix, we just talked about, doesn't have any depth. The Warriors, Chris, who knows what they're doing with Chris Paul? Dame might be out of Portland. Memphis is a train wreck. Like, there's one to teams 1 through 15. Well, teams 2 through 15, I think you can make an argument that any of those teams could be contending for the playoffs. Denver, I think, will be the favorite again. But even teams like Houston, they got a lot of young talent that if they take a step, they got Ime Udoka coaching them. Mm-hmm. My point is, like, with all those, even if they don't have, like, an A-plus player, Lauri Markkanen was an all-star last year. If they get John Collins to be productive and those other players step up, year two, Will Hardy's system, Utah could be a pretty good team next year.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I think they're going to be. I think this is, you know, kind of step one in probably a 3 or 4 step process.
Yeah.
But, I mean, if it's step one, it's a great, great first step.
I'm sure they got some more moves.
Yeah.
Now, I do think that's going to be kind of a big free agency, quote, signing. I don't know how if they'll bring in another, like, stud player. I haven't even looked too closely at kind of the guard market. Probably bring in a couple guys here and there. I think this is kind of mostly the roster we got going into the next year would be my guess. But You never know.
Yeah.
Angel's always got something up his sleeve. Should we get to the top five?
Let's do the top five.
Okay, so we are doing, in honor of our trip, the top five Chilean foods. Now, I know no one will have heard of most of the things we're talking about, so we'll explain them. This is also off the top of my head. I didn't even write it down, so we might do a little bit of shuffling here and there.
Yes, no, I'm going to start kind of taking notes right now.
Yeah. Well. So Chilean food, there's a lot of fried stuff, a lot of stuff covered in mayonnaise. It's very good. The number five Chilean food, I would say, and it's very good, but there's just a lot of stuff I want to put in there. Number five thing I would say is a churrasco. What that is, it's a steak sandwich, like kind of Philly cheesesteak type steak covered. You got tomato, a churrasco italiano. Churrasco is with tomato, mayonnaise, and avocado. On this, like, pretty good bread. So that's number five.
For, like, a steak sandwich.
Like a steak sandwich, yeah. So it's pretty good. Number four, I would say sopaipillas. Think of a scone. Kind of like that. Mm-hmm. A little bit different, but kind of the basic idea.
Yeah.
Number three, this is tough. I guess I'd say empanadas. Chilean empanadas are really good.
All the way down to three.
Here's the thing. Number two and number one are really good.
I'm sure they are, but yeah.
Wow. Now, number two, I honestly think taste-wise might be number one, but I'm going to say two is a choripan. It's basically kind of a chorizo, but in, like, sausage form. In the United States, most of our chorizo is, like, ground up. In Chile, it's like an actual sausage. And you put it, like, a little type of what they call mariqueta bread, a little hot sauce on it, a little mustard. Fantastic.
Yeah.
And the number one, I feel like you have to say completo, which is a hot dog with, same thing, tomato, mayonnaise, and avocado.
Yeah.
It's super good. The buns are massive, so they just kind of load everything in. The hot dog is really a minor part of the experience.
Yes, I agree.
That's kind of their, like, party food, fast food. For their 4th of July, our 4th of July is coming up. For their version, their September 18th, their version of the 4th of July, they do a lot of, like, asado, like, barbecue. Grills and barbecues and stuff, but some completos are involved in there. But that's it. When I think of Chilean food, I think of completos. So that's why I put it number one.
Yeah, well, the thing about completos, I think if you, you know, polled 100 Chilean people, it's like, what would you rather I served you? I would think most of them would say churrasco, the steak sandwich, instead of the completo,
yeah.
Which is the same thing. It's just a hot dog or the steak. Think about the completo is just so cheap and it's so easy.
It is cheap and easy.
Yeah. So I think a lot of people like that. Although, I have to disagree. I feel like empanadas have to be the number one thing.
Empanadas are good. The ones we had in both Rancagua and Santiago, the cities you served in.
Yeah.
Both were fantastic, top-notch.
Right. I guess I'm a person, I think that all food should be empanadas. Sandwiches would be better if they were just empanadas.
Just wrapped up in one little thing.
Desserts would be better if they were empanadas, you know.
Easier to eat.
Yeah, easy to eat, convenient, you know. I just think food would be better if it was just kind of prepackaged.
You know, burritos kind of do that.
Burritos are similar, yeah, and that's why I'm more of a burrito guy than a taco guy generally.
They're easy to eat.
Yeah.
Interesting. Do you have a top five or?
No, I mean, mostly just reshuffling. I've got empanadas at number five. I don't remember
Oh, I forgot about pastel de choclo.
Yeah, pastel de choclo is like it's kind of like mashed potatoes but made out of corn, but they mix in tomatoes and ground beef and some other things.
It's really good. It's
very, very good.
Umitas are good as well.
Umita. Yeah, I don't know how to explain umitas because they're basically what are they basically? I'm forgetting.
Tamales.
Yeah, they're basically tamales. But there's more corn, and people are going to say, well, tamales are already made out of corn. It's like, I know, but they're made out of more corn in Chile, which sounds weird, but a Chilean person's listening, and they're thinking, it's right. Yeah. Umitas are made out of more corn somehow. Yeah. So
they're good. Put some tomato on there. Mm. They eat a lot of tomatoes in Chile. I think everything we said, is in, tomatoes are involved.
Tomatoes are an excellent, excellent vegetable.
So. Yeah.
Maybe fruit.
I think that's possible.
I think fruit, but anyway.
Yeah, Chilean food's awesome. If you want the invite to our GAC Ocho party, September 18th party, let us know. It's nice to be back in the country. Happy, hope everyone has a 4th of July. That's fantastic. We'll be recording before, during, or after next week at some point. Keep you posted. It's nice to be back. We'll talk to you guys next week.